Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack from Willview Academy, and with us this time. And friends, we'd like to interact with what's happening out there from a distinctively biblical worldview perspective. We want to have an answer to give to those who ask us for the hope that is within us, but do it with meekness and fear. We want to be sure that we are equipping the man and woman of God to every good work, and that we can rightly understand the times. And at points, we need to cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. And so let's use the Word of God. Let's apply it to these things. Here's an interesting article I pulled off of Zero Hedge just a few days ago. I thought it was super interesting. Judge Napolitano used to be a commentator on Fox News. You remember him? Mm-hmm. He's got this article, Andrew Napolitano, about presidents who have a license to kill. Remember James Bond, right?
Yeah.
Well, presidents have a license to kill. Here's what he says. Sometime before he withdrew from the presidential race, President Joe Biden secretly reaffirmed his own self-willed, self-created authority to kill persons in other countries, so long as the CIA and its military counterparts have near certainty that the target of the homicide is a member of a terrorist organization. That standard, apparently concocted by George W. Bush administration in 2002, there's no near certainty standard in the law, as the phrase is oxymoronic and defies the rational and definition, like nearly pregnant. Says there's no near pregnant. There's no near certainty when it comes to these matters. The presidential use of drones to kill persons overseas began in 2002 with Bush-ordered targeted killings. It's continued under President Barack Obama, who even killed Americans overseas. The rules for killing were made up by each president. They were relaxed into President Donald Trump, who gave CIA senior personnel and military commanders the authority to kill without his express approval for each killing. So on the article goes, the Constitution authorizes Congress to declare war against foreign countries, not random killings of persons. In other words, if we're going by rule of law, and this point has been made by a number of conservative organizations, that American governments want to jump into conflicts without a declaration of war. And now when we begin to shave off the rule of law, constitutional law, we descend into higher levels of anarchy and instability for a nation. Remember that tyranny, when government isn't playing by the rules, guess what everybody else starts to do? Same thing with mom and dad. Mom and dad aren't going to play by the rules.
The children won't.
What happens with the kids?
Right.
Same thing, Bill. And I think that's what's happening increasingly with this nation. I mean, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever that the highest levels of government aren't all that interested in playing by the rules. Here's what he says. This is Andrew Napolitano again, this article. No person may morally be targeted for death by government for any reason unless it is presently necessary to stop that person from actively killing an innocent. In the cases cited above, the presidential killings were done to terrify political opponents as the civilian targets were helpless and the killers were lauded as heroes. So I'm not going to read the entire article. You can check it out online. It's Napolitano and presidents now licensed to kill in this country. Gives you a bit of a chill, doesn't it?
Yes.
A little bit of a chill.
It's a very short step from applying that reasoning to killing terrorists to turning that into political opponents terrorists, or declaring the individual citizen a terrorist.
But Bill, I would never be defined as a terrorist.
Notice the crickets with which I responded.
Yeah, I thought you would say amen or something like that.
No. I mean, and we just did that show on January 6th.
Right. Those right-wing conservative Christian people.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right.
And
right.
In our culture, Christians are considered now to be evil. And if you can label somebody as evil, I'm not saying wrong. We are now considered to be evil. Mm-hmm. We are the enemy against the secular state.
Yeah.
And once you are defined that way, then the state can take action against you. We are labeled as terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is something of an impulse to total government, to eliminate all threats by increasing the omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence of government Bill, you know what I'm talking about. Cameras everywhere just to keep an eye on, make sure that
you're safe.
You're safe. And yet monitoring every move you make, every breath you take. Right. So there's this impulse to total government. It's the impulse to be as God. It's the impulse to total justice, absolute justice, to be sure that, you know, there is no other God. And there is no other possibility for justice. There won't be no final judgment day to bring everything to account. So therefore, there must be total justice and total government in order to achieve the absolute standard of justice on planet Earth. So you've got to achieve the omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence of government. It's the impulse to the police state, Bill.
Yes.
It's the impulse to be as God, to be control of everything, to eliminate all evil. Bill, here, let's do this. Give me all the power to eliminate evil and establish absolute justice in this country. Just hand it over to
me. King of the forest. If you were king of the forest, we'd all be, if you were president, we'd be sorry. We'll all be sorry when you're president.
Okay.
We certainly will,
well, that's
because
not
if
a vote,
you give
that's not
all
a vote of confidence.
Power,
I need a vote of confidence.
You need more power than the president. You need absolute authorities.
Yeah, in order to achieve total justice.
Exactly.
Eliminate all potential threat of evil for the country. You would have to give me total power.
That's why our founding fathers understood the separation of powers, because if you consolidate all power into one man's hands, no matter how righteous he appears to be, then tyranny will follow. And that's why we as U.S. citizens proclaim liberty under law. It's not liberty under man. It's liberty under God's law. Only when you have God's law is the absolute standard by which you judge right and wrong, moral versus immoral, truth versus lies, then and only then can you have liberty for all under God's law. But we have replaced God's law with man's law, and when you do that, you have tyranny.
Modern man is not like to trust God to be sovereign. Because they don't believe in God's existence, not even submitting himself to the sovereignty of God. Modern man doesn't want to think that God can be totally sovereign, ultimately just, and thereby to limit government to God's jurisdictional limits. That's the problem, my friends. By the way, this isn't the first time in which this sort of arbitrary approach to killing people given to the president of the United States or kings in control has been the case. Tyrannical kings, pagan kings would do this sort of thing all the time.
Even in this nation. The Aliens and Sedition Act.
They went over the edge on that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that began, was early on in the founding of our nation.
For things they said. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, let me read just a bit from Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, my chapter on freedom, liberty, the liberty that was achieved by Christians since the Magna Carta. Thankfully, we have an 800-year period in which, liberty has actually visited certain countries around the world for a period of time until the socialists and the communists took over and we abandoned a Christian world and life view. But this is the way life is under an anti-Christian, pre-Christian age, which is where we're headed today. So if you want to know how things are going to work out in the year 2100, more like Mad Max than anything else, but also just tyrannical governments, tyrannical kings, pagan kings doing whatever they want. Ancient records of the Assyrian Empire are stuffed with endless accounts of the flaying alive of victims, stabbings, body mutilations, burnings, dismemberments. Sennacherib was murdered by his own sons. Before Alexander III of Macedonia appears, Alexander II was murdered by his cousin Ptolemy, who was then killed by Perdiccas, Alexander's brother. 3 years later, Philip II had to eliminate two of his half-brothers before he could secure his place on the Macedonian throne. So that's the way it goes. That's where we're headed. Imagine everybody killing everybody else in order to achieve a certain amount of power. The history of the Roman Empire is one long account of murder, treachery, wicked intrigue, bloody pogroms, and revolutions. Caligula murdered his mother and brothers. Claudius killed 35 senators and some 300 knights. Nero murdered two wives, his mother and his stepbrother. A paranoid and autocratic Domitian, he murdered senators, knights, other officials in the hundreds. He introduced exquisite forms of torture, and nobody was safe from his informants and police state tactics. So, friends, that's pretty much it. We're reverting to that. We're reverting back to an autocrat approach to handling issues. We're not really submitting ourselves to the rule of law, constitutional law, biblical law, which is really comes in with the Magna Carta in 1215. We have an 800-year history of the freedom and liberty where we bind back governments by constitutional law. This goes all the way back to 1215 AD. Was not the case for about 5,000 years of world history until the Christians showed up. Thankfully, we've had something of a record of the rule of law since 1215 AD. Read the story in The Story of Freedom, a book I put together which gives the full 1,000-year view of what happened. You can also get the shorter version, Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West. But friends, you need to know the history of freedom. Why? Because freedom is about to disappear from planet Earth. Be back with more in just a moment on The Generations broadcast. Hello, my friends. For the last 15 years, The Generations team has produced a Christian curriculum specifically for families who want to give their children a God-centered, Bible-saturated, biblical worldview-based education. Our commitment is to restore the Christian faith, generational faith, in an age where we are losing faith in this country and almost anywhere around the world, where Christian children attend secular schools or use secular curriculum and imbibe secular culture. Now, we're not relying on the pre-Christian Greeks for an educational model here. We're not relying on the post-Christian secularists for the education model either. Our curriculum is based in a biblical worldview. We put hundreds of Bible verses in the history books and integrate the truths into the subjects. We want to glorify God on every page of the science books. We immediately integrate knowledge into life application and natural revelation with special revelation. We keep Christ at the very center of the history books with preparing the world for Jesus and taking the world for Jesus. I believe God is calling this generation in this highly secularized age to a radical change in how they disciple their children. Please check out our program for education of your children and grandchildren at www.generations.org. And we're back on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. And friends, I believe that we need to seek freedom. Absolutely, this is a value for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, what does the Apostle Paul say? If you can be free, use it rather. You are bought with a price. Do not be the servants of men. We have been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Paul says we should do what we can to shed ourselves of the unnecessary servitude of men. That is, to the point at which we can be free from, yes, local fiefdoms or large federal tyrannies. Either way, Paul says, absolutely, seek freedom from big governments, tyrannical governments that control aspects of our lives. Given that we have been set free from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, now the implication of this is that we should seek freedom from the unnecessary servitude of men. Bill, I think above all, Christians should be those seeking increasing levels of economic political freedoms. Absolutely. Paul encourages it, commands it, requires it of us, even puts the blood of Jesus Christ on the line for it. It's almost as if he's, you know, becoming extremely exhortative and pointing a finger right in our faces. You are bought with a price. Now, be not the servants of men. It's almost a Patrick Henry statement, but of course, we're bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ who set us free from our sins. Therefore, one of the implications of that is we should not submit ourselves to high levels of tyranny.
All right. Liberty should be the cry of the Christian.
This should be a value in the churches.
Yes, and it's not.
It's falling off. Listen to these stats, Bill. Freedom has lost ground in this country, and one of the very best stats I can give you is the growth of total government in America. Total government spending, that is, local, state, and federal spending, per GNI. In other words, here's my wallet. How much of this are governments taking in any given year? What percentage of my money is being used up by government in any given year, on average? Okay, that's increased big time in just the last, 60 years since I was born. Since I was born, it's increased by 50%. Tyranny has increased 50% in this country since 1964. Now, granted, it increased even more so from 1900 to 1964. So there's a massive increase between 1900 and 1964, thanks to FDR, LBJ, and others. But you get to 1964, Bill, and from 1964 to 2000, governments increased 25%. In other words, on average, governments are 25% more tyrannical by the year 2000. But just since to the year 2000, it's increased another 25%, largely through the economic policies of George W. Bush and Donald Trump. Sadly, they're the ones that contributed mostly to that. And of course, COVID was a big increase there. You saw a step function at that point. The point is that tyranny has increased big time, 25% over the last 24 years. And prior to that, 25% since 1964. So friends, governments more tyrannical. It's not as if somehow we've made any progress, Bill. We've made no progress in 2000. We've lost ground. We've lost 25% of ground since the year 2000. Government take of our money as a percentage of the gross national income. Moreover, here's one more thing. And again, this is very sad because Christians aren't fighting for freedom anymore. I believe it's Christians that need to stand in the gap. As I said, it was Christians that brought the Magna Carta. It's Christians that fought for the Swiss War of Independence against the Holy Roman Empire. That, of course, was William Tell and the boys. You go all the way back to the 1200s, 1290. It was William Wallace, Robert the Bruce that fought for the Scotland's Declaration of Independence. And then again, William the Silent for the Netherlands Declaration of Independence. And that occurs in roughly 1560. So again, the American Declaration of Independence in 1776. So we have about 1,000-year or 800-year legacy of liberty in the Western world, but that's been given up by Christians and Christian yes. churches. Sadly, freedom is now disappearing around the world. Freedom House's latest report on worldwide freedoms released in 2024, Bill, a loss of freedoms in 52 countries, a gain in 21, overall loss in 31 nations in the world. And this has been a steady decline since the year 2006. Now, this organization's been working on this since 1948, identifying freedoms around the world and the rise of tyranny and dictatorships around the world. We're seeing that since the year 2006. Now, you need to ask the question why this is the case. But back in 2005, 31 nations had an overall increase in freedoms. 31 nations. We had a 31-nation improvement of freedoms in the world. In 2006, three nations, a loss of three nations. The decline of freedom occurred in three nations, more than the nations in which there was a gain. And then 2007, a 16-nation loss. And then 2008, a 22-nation loss in freedoms in nations around the world. 2009, a 33-nation loss. In 2010, an overall 15-nation loss of freedoms. 2011, 17 nations lost freedoms. 2012, 20 nations lost freedoms. In 2013, an overall 14-nation loss. In 2014, an overall 29-nation loss. In the year 2015, an overall 29-nation loss. Again, in the year 2016, an overall 31-nation loss of freedoms. In 2017, overall 36-nation loss in freedoms. In 2018, an overall 18-nation loss in freedoms. In 2019, 227 overall nation loss. In 2020, an unbelievable 45 nation loss in freedoms, largely to COVID and what happened in that year. And then this most recent year of 2023, it was an overall 31 nation loss of freedoms around the world. So we are seeing an overall decline of freedom in this nation, in this world, over 18 years. Freedom is disappearing from the world. And it started in the year 2006.
What was the linchpin? What was it that... What was the watershed moment, do you think?
Well, I believe it was this nation. I believe we are the nation that has the most Christian influence.
The last best hope.
We are the last
liberty.
Best hope. Yeah. For the Christian faith influencing liberty in this nation and around the world.
What was the watershed moment here that you see that would be, you could point to and say, at this point, it was the tipping point and we crossed the divide?
Well, I think every Christian legal defense organization in the country would agree with me that occurred in 2006 when the New Mexico photographer was brought to court because he refused to provide pictures for a homosexual wedding. So it was a 2006 New Mexico case in which Christianity for the first time lost a significant case over, say, 1,000 years of influence. The Christian influence had declined enough that Christians would be persecuted in this country.
It's when the Supreme Court of New Mexico ruled against
the
Christian photographer.
Yes.
And one of the justices said, you may believe whatever you wish, but this is the price you pay for freedom, and upheld a $6,000 fine against the photographer for refusing to participate in an event that was a violation of her conscience.
And following that, we get the Bostock decision in which Christian organizations will be punished if they do not hire homosexuals or allow for transgendering in the workplace. So friends, again, freedom has been pretty much wiped out in America since the year 2006. And it was, more importantly, Bill, a loss of Christian influence. That, to me, is the more significant issue. Christian influence so declined in this country by the year 2006 that we no longer won significant cases at the Supreme Court in New Mexico. And do understand the case was upheld by the Supreme Court of the United States as well several years later. So it was the New Mexico photographer case that marked the end of 1,000 years plus of Christian influence on Christian liberties in this country and other countries around the world. And we've seen since then, over 18 years, a steady decline of liberties. That is, liberty is disappearing off the face of the earth. Why? Because Christian influence has disappeared in America, perhaps the world's last best hope here in America. But friends, we need to get back with the discipleship of the nations. And as you said, Bill, we need to emphasize the importance of return to liberty and the value of liberty in our churches across this country.
And we unless have not that happens, done that. We don't believe in it.
Unless that happens, we're going to lose it in this country yep. and every other nation around the world. Liberty will disappear.
Churches really don't believe in liberty.
Yeah.
And they've become just another special interest group. You know, please leave us alone, government. Let us worship in our houses, but please, we'll grant you that you can come in and tell a photographer that they can't exercise their religious beliefs. We'll grant you can tell a baker you can tell a florist that they can't exercise their beliefs in their shops. But just leave us alone.
Just leave us alone for right now.
We really don't believe in liberty.
Take away the freedoms of everybody else.
Yeah, leave us alone.
But just leave us alone for now.
We become nothing more than a special interest group.
For now. Until they shut you down.
Yeah.
Which they will. Okay, friends. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I encourage you to my book, The Story of Freedom. That's a longer story, but also the chapter on the rise and fall of Western liberties contained in the big book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. That's available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.